Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I have my friend and repeat offender. He keeps writing books like they're going out of style and they're changing my life. Every single one that I read, Dave Asprey is to me the father of biohacking. He's the author of this unbelievable new book, Heavily Meditated, Health Science and Biotech Entrepreneur. A dear friend of mine, Dave Asprey, welcome to the Playbook.
David, I'm happy to be back, my friend.
So good to see you. Now, I'm going to cover these three things in here because I've shifted the paradigm in my life over the last 18 years. And it's a simple shift to understand the wisdom and faith that it takes to shorten the distance or resistance that we create between us and the infinite. And you've created this fast path to remove three things: triggers, which I think involves reaction to fear in response to the reaction to fear as I read it. One that's obvious, but so many people can't do, which is dissolving stress or dis-ease. Yeah. And then activating, which is an intentional word because I know you and what you teach. We activate our inner peace because it's already there. Let's start with the first one. There's a lot of the book on triggers and understanding that we are loaded guns. What can we do in this human upgrade to understand how to respond to the triggers that are inherent in our genetic and energetic inheritance?
There's two ways you can respond to a trigger. And the first one is just react and yell at the person or get in a fight or yell at your kids or do whatever you wish you wouldn't have done. Not a very good choice. The second thing you could do is what they teach at your therapist's office or even at a monastery. Notice the feeling. Gently set the feeling to the side. And I'm here to officially say screw both of those. Because what you want to do is recognize if someone can trigger you, you are the loaded gun and their finger's on the trigger, and that's not okay. So step one of being a functioning adult is learning how to not react when you are triggered. Step two of being an evolving human being is learning how to go in and turn off the system settings. So imagine you have your phone and your therapist is, you're like, hey man, the tech talk alerts, they're just going off all the time. And the therapist goes, gently swipe left on the alerts and continue working. And you would laugh. Well, can I go into the settings and turn it off so I don't get an alert I don't want? Well, the idea of heavily meditated is, I've worked with more than 1,000 top-level executives over the last 10 years with a computer glued to their head reading what's actually going on. And there is a way to go into the control panel of your mind and turn off triggers that don't serve you. And when they're gone, the next time your mother-in-law says something mean or an employee does something or your partner, whatever, it just won't trigger you. The guy will cut you off in traffic, your heart rate won't change, your palms won't sweat, you won't have to take a deep breath, you won't grit your teeth. Because you've transformed a useless trigger by turning it off. So what's behind all those triggers? It's peace.
It's so true. And in the respect of we're constantly afraid of something, and I find therapists as well, I spend far too much money in therapy and personal development about these traumas. You know, everybody wants this inner child in my traumas and past life trauma, womb trauma, the toddler and infant trauma, tween, teen, 20s, 30s, 40s. I'm in my 50s now. Now they're talking about all these 50s traumas I have. What is the relativity in these triggers? The fact that I don't really give a shit anymore what I'm afraid of. I want to know when my consciousness feels afraid, it's going to evoke the ego, and then I'm going to have this response.
Oh, for dude, you got it so wrong, David.
That's good. That's why I think model. Save me a ton of money.
Okay. Here's what happens. Something happens to the world around you like this. Clap my hands. Now, as soon as the sound made it through the internet and through the air, you heard it, right? That's not real. What really happened is the sound reached your body and your body held on to that sound for 1/3 of a second to decide whether it was a threat or whether it was going to let you hear it. There's a censorship window. It is your body, not your mind. Your mind got the signal 1/3 of a second later, and it took the rest of that second for your conscious thinking to figure out what it was. But it felt like it happened instantly because your mind is erasing this gap. And if you don't believe me, watch how fast a cat moves. Because the cats move in ways. How do they do that? They do that because they don't have to wait 1/3 of a second. They're much faster than us. So you ever lean on a hot stove and then jerk your hand away? Good thing I pulled my hand away. No, your body moved your hand. You didn't move it. You just took credit for it. So when you're triggered, your distributed threat detection system designed to keep your meat alive, it thought there was a threat, and it is very fast and very dumb, and it is programmed by birth trauma. It is programmed by womb trauma. It's programmed by childhood trauma, by bad coaching. And the thing is, they're dumb settings. That one time your teacher yelled at you in third grade, it stuck because at the time you were in a state. Anytime a kid feels unsafe or an adult, the body's like, I'm going to remember because in case I feel unsafe again, it might be a threat. So your job is to go in and not worry about all the traumas and just militantly going to say, huh, something triggered me. I'm going to go in and turn off that setting. I'm going to turn it off. So every trigger is, oh, that's where my body reacts. My body hides reality from me and makes me reactive. You're not choosing to do it. There's nothing wrong with you. It's your body trying to keep you from getting eaten by a mean coach in third grade.
Nice. The idea of ease and dis-ease, which led to the dissolution, dissolving of stress. I've tried to categorize everything mental, physical, spiritual, emotional into ease, and then try to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with the ease. And so I call that dis-ease. And I, even to the fact that utilizing some of the things that you've taught me and others, I have a very strong immune system, but yeah. I believe I'm attacked all the time. And I just spend minutes and moments in dis-ease, unlike other people who spend days, weeks, months, and years and try to figure this out. How do we, one, identify the dis-ease, which we call stress, and two, dissolve it?
Well, some stress is real. Go out and do 100 squats. You just stressed your body. That's what happens, right? You run a marathon or drink, you know, 6 glasses of wine and stay up all night. That is actual physiological stress. And the weird thing is it feels the same as emotional stress. And then there's emotional stress where someone said something that fired a trigger. And that trigger to your stress management system, your adrenals, your cortisol, it's the same as doing the squats, right? It triggered something with the squats. The body said there's a physical threat because you're wearing my muscles out. You must be jumping away from tigers. And when you're ruminating and you're thinking about that mean thing that person said, you're creating those stress hormones the same way. And it's the sum total of all the physical and emotional stressors on you and the environmental stressors that determines how resilient you are. So the more stressed you are from your diet, from your sleep, from your exercise, and from your emotions, the more recovery you need. And what I found with my nationwide franchise called Upgrade Labs, it's an AI longevity company where people come in and spend just a few minutes to put on muscle, lose weight, and extend their longevity. Well, 80% of the interventions that we do are around recovering faster because most of us have plenty of stress and no recovery. But the only way humans adapt psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and physically is when we get a signal that says we need to adapt and we have enough nourishment, energy, and peace so that we can actually change. But if we're blown out and we have no recovery, you send the signal that says, I need to do more curls. But it says, I can't build muscle. I'm too tired. And then it just becomes stress. But if you instead did the curls the right way and then got some sleep, ate a steak, did the recovery things, took some deep breaths, did a meditation just to chill, now the body can put on muscle. And this is why, David, I used to weigh 300 pounds. I weigh 200 pounds now, and I'm 5% body fat, and I work out 20 minutes a week using AI, and it is absolutely ridiculous. That is not airbrushed.
That is amazing. Yeah,
I was a fat computer hacker from Jurassic Park 1.
You're amazing. In the idea of energy, I'm 57 years old, and most people can't keep up with me because I have this focus on what am I doing to interfere with my energy. I believe we all have the same amount of energy. It's what you're doing to interfere with it. Sleep is my number one non-negotiable. I have a sleep coach. I travel 200 days a year. And I believe that's the smartest investment I made in a coach is to make sure that I'm recovering and accessing information while I'm sleeping. And I'm curious how you feel about, one, the importance of sleep in this recovery, you've already said, but is there a conscious, subconscious, unconscious access to information that I'm transcending through the meditation when I wake up, or am I lying to myself once again?
100%, that is real, and there's science to back it up. I've taught more than 100,000 people how to sleep. The best marketing achievement of my life, sleepwithdave.com.
I'm all for sleeping with Dave. Can you send my wife that link, by the way? Nice.
It's a free thing. I'm not trying to sell it. It's just all the stuff I've done. I was a terrible sleeper my whole life, and I get great sleep in less time now, and I've been tracking it for 17 years. The first half of the night, especially if you go to bed earlier, that's when the dreaming happens. That's usually when you're getting the downloads and things like that. There's a brief window before you wake up. And then the second half of the night, if you go to bed on time and you didn't eat late, you should have your deep sleep. Your goal is 90 minutes of each every night, no matter how long you sleep. I sleep 6.5 hours a night on average. I get 90 minutes of deep, 90 minutes of REM most nights.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's exactly what my sleep coaches taught me in the different variants of time zones, et cetera.
The other big thing, I don't get jet lag anywhere on the planet. And we just published a study in a medical journal for one of my companies called True Dark. We make a special kind of glasses. I'm wearing the daytime ones. I got back from Dubai a couple of days ago and Kenya and Madagascar. I don't get jet lag anywhere. I just have to wear the glasses that tell my brain it's pitch dark, even though I can still see. And they're True Dark. And now they're medically tested in a paper or in a journal paper.
That is amazing. The final topic in the book is one in which I love to talk about, but I'm not sure if I'm explaining it the right way. And it's the ability to activate certain things, you know, activate in our unconscious competency, in our genetic and energetic inheritance, in our code, we actually activate things. And one of the most valuable things in this book is to activate what most people don't understand they really desire, which is inner peace. I say you can't find outside of you what you can't see inside of you. Everybody's trying to work on the uncertainty and the circumstantial evidence outside when there's certainty and completely non-circumstantial evidence inside. How do we activate that inner peace?
Well, after measuring this for 5 days at a time with more than 1,000 high performers, I think I've got a pretty good answer. In Heavily Meditated, you will find the crown jewel of a program that costs $20,000 for 5 days at 40 years of Zen. It's called the Reset Process. Every time something gets to you, you run through an 8-step scientifically designed process. And the real name for the process is forgiveness. But forgiveness is not something that you do in your mind. It's not telling anyone you forgive them, and it's not saying anything they did was right. It's an inner state change that feels like it's in your heart, but we can measure it in your brainwaves. And once you learn how to do this, you can replay that feeling. And what forgiveness does is that's the thing that goes in and turns off the alerts in your nervous system so that you are no longer triggered by something. Bottom line is your nervous system, your body is holding a grudge because it once felt unsafe for whatever reason. It doesn't even matter. Bodies are not that rational, right? But it didn't feel safe. So it's going to make you feel unsafe every single time. And then that'll mean that you're going to be reactive or angry or whatever, and you won't be at peace. You'll be at dis-ease. So you just go in, oh, look, I was reactive today. Let's run the process. And you just do it. And you can do it with a coach, do it with a partner, do it by yourself and just journal it, write it down. The steps in the book are exactly what I teach at 40 years of Zen. We just use electrodes on your head to show you the states more easily.
And last integrating for me, and most important, is I'm a time freak. And so I believe in infinite time, but I believe the human experience starts when your heart starts and it ends when your heart stops. And it's divided in 24-hour increments. And I utilize that as the only certainty of my future, that I know I'm guaranteed 24 hours tomorrow, unless it's the last day of my life. And so when I'm looking at the triggers, the dis-ease, and the activation of inner peace, I'm trying to put it into the context of time to give me more ease, to give me a more, I think, quantitative measurement in a linear respect in my life. What is your relationship with all these extraordinary gifts that you're giving everyone in this book with time? How can we use time to impact or effectuate these great lessons that you're teaching?
Okay. This is going to be a little out there.
I love it.
We can prove with hardcore quantum physics PhD equations, not the quantum woo, time and space are figments of our imagination. They provably do not exist. Our bodies make up time and make up space because they're very useful for helping us survive here. But they are actually just delusions. This goes back to what the Buddhists will teach you about Maya, the whole world's an illusion. It's just an illusion that your body makes up because otherwise you would starve to death. Like, it's useful. But the implications of that are pretty big, that death is just a state change. It isn't actually real, which reduces fear enormously. If you're playing a video game, you can restart. You play it different than if you only get one play ever.
Yeah.
Right? And you live with less fear. And maybe you take risks that are worth it. And that's why, like, my new coffee company, Post Bulletproof, it's called Danger Coffee. It's danger because who knows what you might do? Like, you might do something that was a little bit risky, but it was worth it for you, right? And it's that freedom to say, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to expand, I'm going to do the things that are hard but worth it. And I think that's where inner peace comes from, because the worst kind of peace is outer peace, where everyone's tired and downtrodden and can't make ends meet and they're eating garbage food. And they're peaceful because they're too tired. We don't want that world. We want a world of massively powerful inner peace. That idea that it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
I love that, Dave. As usual, bringing it, our New York Times bestselling author and of heavily meditated, great lessons to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your own potential. And when we're listening to Dave Asprey and all his books and his podcast, The Human Upgrade, if you haven't caught it, great way to learn about biohacking for longevity and performance. And of course, just listening to him speak, you're going to learn the lessons to get you to where you want to be or better. Take a look at that picture. That is not anything but real. Amazing. I remember sitting in a pool at TLC with Dave and him telling me that he only works out like 20 minutes a week or something. And he had his shirt off and I quickly put my shirt back on. And I'm thinking, I got to figure out what Dave Asprey is doing, because that sounds like my kind of time efficiency.
You know what's funny, David? I was on Diary of a CEO, a big podcast. He interviewed me. He didn't believe I only worked out 20 minutes a week. He refused to publish the episode. I'm like, what, do you want to see my data? Like, that's totally real. That's my boyfriend. That's totally real. It's real.
I know very close friends of yours. We've been friends for a long time. 100% real. I'm going to call him and tell him he's making a huge mistake. I will go ahead and double publish for what lost youth audience and community have, because I know it's real. I know what's in this book, and I know the lessons are real. It doesn't have to be easy. Remember, the simple things to do are simple not to do. And when you're reading Dave Asprey's books, think about that I should concentrate on the behaviors of the simple things that he teaches us, because they make exponential impact in not only our lives, but the people we care about. And Dave, I just am so grateful for what you're doing for our community and for really the whole world, making it so simple. Thank you.
You are welcome. And David, thank you in turn for sharing the good message.
You got it. Definitely, I'm posting it. Don't worry. This is David Meltzer with an incredible human being. He's helping us all. Dave Asprey, another bestseller, Heavily Meditated. Check out his podcast, The Human Upgrade. We are blessed to have him. I'm David Meltzer. He's David Asprey, Dave Asprey, on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.